Okay. The topic of tonight's shiur, and as I was preparing the shiur, it seemed to have grown, as sometimes happens, so maybe tonight's shiur and next week's shiur, depending on how far we get, are those things that are usher to do during the Yimei Kfirah, and also those things that are mutter to do that very often people may think are usher to do during the Yimei Kfirah. The goal for tonight is, at the very least, to get through the introduction to the topic, the background to it, the different opinions of when Sfira is, and the difference between Sfira and 3 weeks, as well as the issue of listening to music in general and listening to music during Sfira. And then, Mr. Shem, for next week, if time doesn't allow us to only say this week, for next week we'll get into the shaving, the haircutting, the celebrations, the get-togethers, movies, new house, construction, etc., all the other items related to Sfira Omer. The basis for this topic, and the only source of this topic in the Gemara, is the famous Gemara in the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that the Ramos and Daftanos Beis on the Beis, which is source number one in the sheets, Amru, Chazal said that Shema for Elev Zudim Talmidim Hayulol Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students that were loyal to him. And it's interesting that the different Maimari Chazal seem to say different numbers. There's a Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah that says Shneimasar Elef, that after Zugim, that he had 12,000 students, which would be a much more normal way of talking. Normally, if you want to say 24,000, you would say 24,000, you want to say 12,000 pairs. But anyway, the our text of the Gemara is 12,000 pairs, and the acronym have a lot to say about it, what's trying to be expressed with that term 12,000 pairs as opposed to the 24,000. And there's, I think, one version of the Chazal that has it that is 24,000 pairs. Whatever it is, we assume generally 12,000 pairs the students Rabbi Akiva had. The Kulan Mesu Bifaragatlab and Seishalo Nagu Kavazel said they all died during the same period of time because they weren't mechabit each other properly. Vayaholam Shanin, and the world was desolate. I mean, the world was desolate from Torah. Imagine the loss of so much Torah of so many great Talmidim. Ad Shabbar Rabbi Akiva ate till Rabbi Chaim Shabbadarim until Rabbi Akiva, most other people probably would have fallen into a deep depression, become discouraged, and given up their careers as teachers. But Rabbi Akiva instead went to Rabbi Chaim Shabbadarim, Vishamalah, and Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozim, Rabbi Shemula. And he taught them Torah, and these Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva picked up after the tragedy that he suffered with his previous Talmidim, were none other than Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, five of the great Tanayim that we know of. The Hein Hein Hanid Torah Osashah, and they're the ones that were Ma'am and Torah. The Tana Kulam Eitzim Mutetach Yadat Teresna. The Gemara fills us in that they all died between the period of Pesach and Aseret. That's all the Gemara really says about the period of Sfira and Avelus during Sfira. Now, what's odd to us is that we know of the period of Sfira as a time of Avelus, not just a time where one single unfortunate event happened. There's no mention in any Gemara, as far as I know, or as far as others, people who know a lot more than me have told me, there's no mention in any Gemara of any source of Minhagi Avelus that are observed during Sfira. I believe the earliest source for Minhagi Avelus during Sfira, the Beit Yosef quotes from I think one of the Gaonim on his drasha for Yom Aleph Shal Pesach, one year mentioned something about Minhagi Avelus during Sfira, and already the later Rishonim all talk about it and all take as a davar pashut that there is some sort of Minhagi Avelus during the period of Sfira. But it's important to note that it's not a Gemara and it's not a Din, everything's going to be a Minhag, and that just sort of changes our focus when we approach the Halakha. And another important point to make, and I'll make this point in greater detail later, is that very often people are confused between Sfira and the 3 weeks/9 days/Shavuot Shechal Bo Tishbah. The two are not necessarily related, meaning you can't say, well, if the rabbi said it's mutter to do that during Sfira, then it's necessarily going to be mutter to do it during the 3 weeks. They may have very, very different halachos, because as we see over here, certainly the halachos of Avelus and Sfira are much less firmly rooted in Chazal than the halachos of Avelus during the time of the year that commemorates the Churban, which is discussed extensively in Chazal. So that's Aleph. That's number one. Now, in terms of, is that the only event that took place? So the Aruch HaShulchan adds in another interesting line over here. In source number 2, he writes, "Ein lo yom shevin Pesach la'aseret muchzak etel kol Yisrael zeh shanos meos rabos And it's already been many hundreds of years, many centuries, where, notice, he's only saying many centuries, right? It hasn't been millennia, it's only been centuries, since the times of the Gaonim and the Rishonim, where we've assumed that this is a time of Eivav, that this is a time of mourning, because in this very short time period, Mesu Yudbeis Alav Zugos Tamidei Chachamim, Tamidei Rabbi Akiva. 12,000 pairs of students where the Akiva died, Kivisa, the Yavamos, the Kula Mesa, the Mises Askara, the Gemara, goes on to say they all died with a certain particular type of illness, a particularly horrible type of illness, and painful type of illness. Va'od ra'inu she'ikari yumei ha'gezeros b'shnos me'el sha'avru b'tzarkas v'ashkenaz ha'hu v'yamim einu. And he says, and it's just interesting to note that many of the gzeros against Klal Yisrael happen to have been during this time period, happen to have fallen out during this period of the year. So he says it seems to be, and he quotes the piyutim for the difference for the Shabbatos between Pesach and Shavuos, which make mention of terrible gzeros, make mention of the fact that there's more than just the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Not that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva is not enough, but there's a lot more to this period of the year where it seems to be that it's taken on a personality of a period that is associated with Avelus. Now, also what's interesting from the Gemara and that should strike us immediately is the Gemara doesn't say anything about Lag BaOmer. The Gemara doesn't say anything about Lag BaOmer or Lag Dalet BaOmer or whatever the difference in the Gemara. The Gemara says they died between Pesach and Aseret. The Gemara makes no further qualification, which of course we would have to then ask ourselves, what's going on? Why is it that we have the minhag that Lag BaOmer, or many people have the minhag that Lag BaOmer, the celebrations begin and everything's over? Lag BaOmer has significance as an important date on the calendar for another reason, but on the surface it seems, at least from this Gemara, that has nothing to do with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. It didn't seem to be arrested for them just on the very simple understanding of the Gemara. And the truth is, there are many different shittos in Rishonim exactly when they died and exactly when we observe these minhagei avelus during the Sefira. There are a lot of variations. Some of the Akronim will break it down into three minhagim, some will break it down into four. Rav Moshe Feinstein breaks it down to six different minhagim, because there are slight variations on all of the minhagim. Just to get a quick idea of the most basic minhagim, look at the Bir Halacha in source number three. Bir Halacha writes, Bir Hinyan Yishmiz as Shalosh Shitos. There are three opinions. And I'll tell you two of them that the poskim have accepted la halacha. Vizehu, and these are the reasons that they've accepted la halacha. Shita akas, one opinion, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva Mesu lamed dalud yom, that they died for 34 days. The raya mi medrash makes me tesach atosat seres, who tesach yom kodem atseres, that they died from Pesach until 15 days before Shavuos. So when you take away 15 from the 49 days of the Omer, they started dying in Pesach, and they continue dying until 15 days before the end of the Omer, so Lamed Aleph Yom Shemesu, they died for 34 full days. Allah, the Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, Umishamachim is tapping the Yom Lamed Aleph Bevote. The thing is, that in general, when we observe Avelos, we have the call of Mitzvah Yom Kukulo, that on the tail end of the Avelos, the last day of the Avelos, we can observe part of the day, and that covers the whole day. That's when we have it by Shiva. That is the Yom Tikkun that people get up in the morning after sitting a little bit. So even though there should be 34 days of Avelus, so many Rishonim have the opinion that based on a message, based on the Bir Chazal, that the 34 days are until Lamed Dalet Va'omer, Mitzvah Yom Tikkun on Lamed Dalet. What then we see Isha Mutan everything? You can take a haircut, you can get married on Lamed Dalet Va'omer after you observe Avelus for at least part of the day. You kind of that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? That Sephardic Jews, I believe, should or do, and those who don't should, Rav Avadia Yosef writes in very strong language, should have that practice. Right? That Sephardic Jews should not be, this is another one of those areas where Rav Avadia Yosef is very upset about Sephardim being influenced by the Ashkenazim, that sometimes when Sephardim live in Ashkenazic neighborhoods, they're influenced by the practices of what they see around them. And he is very upset about this. The Sephardic Jews should and must follow these things as Mechaber. Lamed Dalet Va'omer is the day they can start celebrating, not Lag Va'omer. Achein, Mazasra, Mashma, this is Beit Mashma, disrelay the paskum ilamus biyom lamed gimel. The Ramah seems to say that they died, they stopped dying on day 33. It's still a very compelling question. I don't have a good answer to it. But if you think about it, what's the big celebration? They stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. It's not as if he had 100,000 Talmidim, and the first 24,000 died, and the others were spared, and that's why Lag BaOmer, then I can understand it's significant. The other 76,000 would be able to breathe a sigh of relief. There were no more to die. He had nothing left. They were gone already. Is that a close to celebration? It's a little bit, it's a very harsh and difficult question. I mean, it doesn't seem like close for celebration when they're all gone. Adarav, it's the time of Avelos. That's when the Avelos should really start, when you realize you have nothing left. But anyway, we'll leave that question maybe for a drasha a different time. That because we assume, Ramah assumes that it went until Lag BaOmer and Mitzvah Siyom Tekulo, so we observe Avelos until Lag BaOmer, and we find with Siyom Tekulo. Fishi Tezu Aminu Chayim Mustaf and Pesach Ad Yom Lamed Gimel Vavoker Umisham Ahala Adat Teres Mutter. That we observe Avelos from Pesach until Lag BaOmer in the morning, after that it's Mutter. So that's one basic approach, either the first 33 or first 34 days, and that's the approach taken in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Shita Shmiya, who Masha'om V'Shem Atosos, Talmid Rabbi Akiva, Metu Lamed Gimel Yamim Shleimim, that they died for 33 full days, but not consecutively. Dahenu, B'Yom She'enom U'Tachnun, Lo Metu. Very unbelievable thing to picture this historically, how this occurred. First of all, it's also a little bit unbelievable to me that such a massive, you can't call it a massacre because it was illness, but such a massive tragedy would hit, and we would have no record that would lead us back to sort of reconstruct exactly when it happened, because we saw variants of opinion of exactly what the dates are. It's a little bit difficult to understand. But the Bali Atosos understand that they died for 33 days, but not consecutive days. They stopped dying on days that we don't say Tachnun. Right, so whenever it was another Rebbe's Yahrzeit, everyone was safe. But only on the days that we said Tachnun, they were dying. In Kench, Shetoki, Shiva, Simea, Pesach, Dahainu, Yom Sheni, Shal Pesach, Va'ot Shishu, Shabbatos. So if you take out the last 7 days of Pesach, and you take out the six Shabbatos, the other six Shabbatos that are between the period of Pesach to Shavuos. Ushnei Yom Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, V'yom Echad Shalom Meitzu, in Kain Harei Nishru Lamed Gimel Shleimin. So you take all that away, you're left with 33 full days, Shemeitzu, that they died. Ulutizer Meitzu Adatzeres, but according to that, they actually continued dying all the way up until Shavuos. Ulenegid Eilu Lamed Gimel Yamin, Kibbul Yisrael Atman, Sas Avelus Lamed Gimel Yamin. And that's why Klal Yisrael Mekabel Avelus a little bit for 33 days. Very odd thing. Normally, Mitzvah Yom Tikkun is at the end of a series, so the last day, you say Mitzvah Yom Tikkun and you observe Avelos for part of the day. Over here, it wasn't really a series, so you can't really go at the end of the series. So they chose, since it's all a minute anyway, they chose one day where they're going to observe Mitzvah Yom Tikkun. So they chose Lag BaOmer is going to be that day. You know, smack in the middle of everything, it's not at the end of anything. They chose Lag BaOmer as the day where they only observe Mitzvah Yom Tikkun. And there's good reason for that, it says in the name of the Prim. God doesn't get into what that reason is. So regarding that, so we see that there are three basic minhagim that the Bir Halacha quotes. They're obviously more well-known minhagim to us. So Moshe Feinstein points out, we know of minhagim that people don't start until Rosh Chodesh. They'll start Rosh Chodesh here and go from then until the end. That also has basis in Rishonim. So Rishonim understand that that's the way it happened. Not that they just took a day off on the Enom and Ben Tachman days. Most, I don't know if people who have that minhag really to do it that way, to do their Avelos that way, where the days that they don't say Tachman take a day off and the rest of the days are Avelos. So in terms of minhagim that I'm aware of that people actually follow, there's the Svarim going till Lamed Dalet Ba'omer, the Ashkenazim going till Lamed Gimel Ba'omer, and there are those who start from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and go until the end. And then there's one final minhag which I know a couple of people who follow this, which is quoted by the Shari Tshuva in the name of the Arizal. So it's number 6. He says the B'Shem Arizal Kotzer Shul this type of cloud on Erev Chag HaShavuos. That the Arizal holds, you keep the whole thing. And you don't take any haircut until Erev Shavuos. Not after Shavuos, but Erev Shavuos is okay, but you keep the entire 49-day period until Erev Shavuos. I'm familiar with some people who observe the entire period. Certainly one is not required to observe the entire period, nor is one required to say, well, if I don't know when it happened, so So maybe I should have to be matmir over here, because who knows? I don't want to be shaving or getting married on a day where it could be that Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva were dying. So maybe one would think I should play it safe and just observe the whole thing. Now, halacha is clearly not so for multiple reasons. First of all, the whole thing is only a minhag. Second of all, whenever you have a suffix in Avelus, we're always halacha is very makel ba'avo when you have a machlokes in Avelus. So even if it weren't just a minhag, even if it were a real legitimate Avelus, we would go to divrei hamekel. And so it's certainly something that is not required. None of the posts are required to take such stringent measures. But that's the basic outline of the shitos in terms of when the Avelus is observed. I just want to point out, as I mentioned before, the Avelus of the 3 weeks differs greatly from the Avelus of Svira. And it differs in the following way. The Rav Avi Yosef points out in the Tshuva, I'm not going to read it inside, it's the time constraints, but when you have a das and say, Gimel Sumer Lamed, it's the source number 8, Rav Avi Yosef points out that when it comes to the Avelus of the 3 weeks, those days are known as days of Peranios, days of Churban, days of Avelus. Right, it's part of Mishneh Nesav, and not in the Simcha. It's very clearly defined as days that have a personality of sadness and avelus. However, when it comes to the days between Pesach and Shavuos, there's sort of a dual personality to these days. Not only is it these days where we celebrate or observe Matzah, where we observe the loss of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, however, the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash also says in Parshas Emor that these are days that are sort of a Kol HaMoed. They serve as a Kol HaMoed between Pesach as the first days of Yom Tov and Shavuos as the last day, and it sort of shows you that there's a bridge, there's supposed to be a connection, which is a theme that we can explore some other time, which is also a very important theme, that Pesach and Shavuos are not to be viewed independently, they're to be viewed as one entity, and the days of Svira as the Kol HaMoed between them. So these are also days of Simcha. These are days between Geula and Kabbalah HaTorah as well. So by their very nature, they're not as severe as the days of the 3 weeks. That's the point Rav Avi Yosef makes, and many other poskim assume such a point without saying it explicitly. I thought Rabbi Eider had a very beautiful deal. And he said, you look at the Torah, the way the Torah expresses the days of the 3 weeks versus the days of Sfira in Simon Tafsad Gimel and describing Sfira in source number 9, he writes, the Torah writes, Nogin Bakal Makomot Shalobi Sa'isha Ben Pesach La'atzeret, not get married during the days of Sfira, Va'atam Shalola Harbos V'Simcha. Right? So the reason that we do this is not to increase our simcha, to have excessive simcha, because Shavuot is not nesu talmid Rabbi Akiva. That's the time frame when talmid Rabbi Akiva died. However, when the Torah writes in Simchat Kuf Nun Aleph, in the halakos of Tishba, in the halakos of the 3 weeks, the Torah writes, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin b'simcha. It doesn't say Shalom Laharbos b'simcha. He uses a much stronger lashon, the lashon Mishnah, that Mima'atin b'simcha, that we actually bring down the level of simcha. So there's obviously a big difference, Rabbi Eider points out, between not engaging in excessive simcha and specifically lessening our levels of simcha. And that's the general focus and general outlook we're supposed to have when we approach these shilohs that have to do with Sfira versus the 3 weeks. So if you ask a shiloh during this time period, if that's something that's wanted to do, I just strongly urge and caution you to ask the shiloh again during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days. And if you don't remember whether you had asked it during the 3 weeks or during Sfira, ask it just to be sure. Ask it again and risk sounding silly because you've just asked the same question before. We just don't think it's Afiyomi, that it's the only way to become a Talmud Chacham is if you're not embarrassed to ask these questions. So it's worthwhile asking them over and over again. Now, the main topic I wanted to get into tonight is the topic of listening to music during Sfira. I wanted to get into it because I saw a very long tshuva on the topic that really bothered me. I didn't like the reasoning of the tshuva at all. And I just wanted to, the main thing that you hear from people who like to listen to music, many people will say that they can't live without music, that music, you know, wherever they go, in the car is always the music, in the house is always the radio on, there are people walking around with iPods all day and they're listening to music all day, and they can't function without music. And many times people will say, A, I can't function without it, and B, they'll say that, show me where in Shulchan Aruch it says they're not allowed to listen to music during Sfira. And on that note, it's true. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to listen to music during Sfira. So because of that, I just want to explain why it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to listen to music during Sefirah, and go into that Indian. And that is that in general, the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in the Sefer Sota, Dachman Ches, the Mishnah says the Teirish, we should battle Sanhedrin, battle Hashir, we beit HaMishtaos. That as soon as the Sanhedrin was battled, we were no longer allowed to engage in shir, the beit hamishta'os, singing in the houses of parties and drinking, to have song and wine accompany each other. And the Gemara B'Sefer Gittin on the Zion says, Zimra minalan da'asir, how do I know that it's asir to have music? And the Gemara answers from a pasuk, al tisma b'sol ugil ba'anun. And the Gemara gives another pasuk, also as a possibility, and the Gemara says, that Havamina and Yerushim with the mana of the Pumashar, and I think that it's only after with an instrument, that it's mutter to sing when there's wine there. It tells me it's usher to sing when there's wine there, and it's usher to use musical instruments ever. Now this is not talking about during Shiva. The Gemara in Mesechus Gittin is talking about ever. The Mishnah, Mesechus Sanhedrin, is talking about Misha Batel Sanhedrin, I guess, until the Sanhedrin comes back. Right, until we have a Beis HaMikdash again, when we have a Sanhedrin, well, whether you need a Beis HaMikdash to have a Sanhedrin is a different issue. It's typically that we can have a Sanhedrin before you have a Beis HaMikdash, we'll save that for a different time, but certainly it seems that the idea of Shiva and the idea of Zimra, of song and of music, is something that's usher. So you'll say, okay, that's a Gemara somewhere, how do we know we pass it like that? Well, it's very clear, Shulchan Aruch is from Tav Kuf Samos, verse number 15, the Chaim Gazru, Shalom Nagin the Klishir, the Kolmin Ezenar, the Kolmin Chazal made a gezeira that we're not allowed to have musical instruments of any sort to take joy in. And the Ramah writes, Yesham and Daphne Misha Rodhagan, he sort of softens it a little bit and says, maybe it's only for those, there are those who say that the Isser is only for those who are constantly used to it, like the kings who wake up and go to sleep to music, which is, I teach a classroom full of kings in the morning apparently, because that's, they're constantly waking up and going to sleep and walking around all day with music, and that's the softer stance, to say that it's only usher for those types of people. For the people who can't live without it, that's who it's usher for, to ever listen to music. Right? But when it comes to, but the Mechaber takes an even stronger stance, and says, absolutely not, that's one of the gezeirot that we observe from the times of the Churban Bayis. So I'm not saying this to tell you halacha that you're not allowed to buy your Mordechai ben David paste or whatever else. But, we'll get into that halacha later and why the minhag ha'olam is to be maple. What I'm saying is, if you're going to come with a taina and say, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to listen to music during Sefirah, well, the same author who says to you 100 simanim later that you're never allowed to listen to music ever is not going to tell you you're not allowed to listen to music during Sefirah. He's not going to write you're not allowed to listen to music on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays either, because it's obvious. When he says you're never allowed to listen to music, it means never. So of course he's not going to tell you elsewhere that you're not allowed to do it during Sefirah. So the question is, if it's this Isser Klali that applies everywhere, and applies throughout the year, and we haven't accepted it, right? Obviously, currently, the minute Rov HaOlam is that people have not accepted it, then we have to deal with a few issues. First of all, why haven't we accepted it? And second of all, how does that affect us during Sefirah? If we haven't accepted it for the rest of the year, why would we accept this there during Sefirah? Or is the issue of not listening to music during Sefirah something else entirely? So this is what I would just like to spend some time analyzing. So we went through the source of the issue, we went through the halakha. Why are so many people lenient on this issue? There's a long tshuva in the Chalkas Yaakov, which is, again, we're not going to have time to go through the whole tshuva. It's a fascinating read, just because the Chalkas Yaakov had issued a lenient psak for people who become sad when they don't have music to lift up their spirits, and specifically for people who become depressed, not just people who like music, but even more so for people who become depressed, he had issued a lenient psak to saying that there is din of a chola shein bel sakana, and we can be vekel on the din d'rabbanan for a chola shein bel sakana, and we can allow them to listen to music. And apparently, whoever he was writing this tshuva to was very upset by this psak, and said, how can you say that it's a chola shein bel sakana? It's all in their heads. Let them get over it. Let them get over their sadness in some other way. Why do they have to listen to music? So he writes, and I just want to read a few excerpts from the tshuva, which I think will give us insight into the idea behind this. It's in source number 16. You look in Oz Beis in the second paragraph. He writes, "Me yitain v'yashay yiskasher darli yizarni, doti shmo zimot haradio." He says, you know what, in an ideal world, Everyone, no one will listen to the radio. So a great sadness, no one pays attention to this halacha. Only chassidim and anshei maisi, you'll find a very firm guy every once in a while who will never listen to music. But generally, it's not the accepted practice. For Yisi b'nei Aliyah v'heim u'atim, I've seen very few people who are on such a level. So what do we have to do? We have to figure out why the whole world is making about it. Meaning what the Pesach has to do when he sees that the entire Klal Yisrael hasn't accepted a certain halacha, we have to try to do Melamed Zichus on Klal Yisrael to figure it out. Umi hitir shayit varmaneh umarim v'shulchan aruch tov kuf samos l'asar mishum avim l'slach har kovar. Then he just adds in sort of a little twist to Klal Yisrael saying, and by the way, we're so upset about who is master music, who is master all the other things that people ignore as a zecha l'chorban. Lignos binyanim uhu darim idli l'shayir ama al ama. People who build these palatial structures, these homes that are unbelievably huge and beautiful, without even leaving a single ama by an ama, as a zechul l'chorban, will be in yani avichas hashulchan, and setting the table, the tachshit, and the jewelry, and all the other things. The ayin v'chach masadim is also showing. Because if you look at v'chach masadim, he writes, the tzarafi in shekol ze ein noag in klal. No one observes any of these. The zimra saradi al kalpanim, yesh lismo falshitas rashi, the tzotzis begitten, the rak the besa mishta al yayin, o sherogil v'chach kloshna ramah. He says, when it comes to listening to the radio, so you can say that there are rishonim that hold that it's only usher to listen to music when there's wine involved. Plus, you have a lashon ramah that it's only malachim who are regular to pass where the issue would apply, but regular people the issue wouldn't apply. And then on the bottom of that paragraph, he adds in something that I thought was a pretty big finish. Towards about 5 lines before the end of the page. V'yesh od svar gadol lahat here, given the pshasek zera lesa azimra mitam avelus, lohaya adayim haradio, lochal hazera al radio, but since in the times of the gzeira, not to listen to music, there was no such thing called as a radio, so it could be a radio is exempt from the whole gzeira. You can listen to music, you can't listen to any other music, but if it's from a radio, then it's okay, because there was they never made a gzeira on the radio. Very strange story, right?
So live music versus something like...
Good. So we have to figure that out. Does he mean radio also, and also a tape and a CD and anything else? It's not so clear that that's what he means. It seems, if you read his words carefully toward the end over there, that the idea of radio, meaning he says like this, they didn't have an electric guitar either. And you wouldn't be allowed to listen to an electric guitar. Why? Because that's just another type of instrument. A radio is not an instrument. It's something that takes something from over there and brings it millions of miles away. It's over here, not millions, but it brings it many miles away over here. It brings it to a completely different area, and I'm able to listen to it here. It's not a musical instrument. But, he might say, anything that produces music here, locally, maybe in the category of a musical instrument, and would therefore be automatically included in the gazela. It's only excluded from the debate if it's something that does something that they couldn't do back then, not just a new type of instrument. That's another interesting story that he has. And it's a good read to read through the whole tshuva. We're not going to do it right now, so skip ahead to Oz Vav in that tshuva. Also, just a very fascinating discussion where apparently the person that he was talking to wanted to tell him, Umasha Harris, the Kola Atavruach, Kivan de Hurak Tsar, the Eno Koev Lo, Mimelo Lo Avi Afugad, the Kola Shembo Sakana, the guy who's asking the Shiloh to him said, you know what? Someone who's sad, that's not a Kola Shembo Sakana, that's not a sick person. Maybe the Retosis, Ksuvos Kabe, Donea, Fiona Kola, Bishabis, the Tsar Shal Ra'a, Kivan Shembo Koev Lo, Loi, Tira Lo, Bishabis, I mean, compared to hunger. If a person's hungry, that's not called that he's a Kola. He's hungry, he needs to eat food, he wants to eat food. But that doesn't make the person a Kola just because he's hungry. He says the same thing over here. Who says that this person is a Kola Shembo Sakana? So he goes on to say that to suggest such a thing, if someone is the Tsar, and someone is upset, and someone is depressed, is not together a Kola, reflects zero understanding of the way the human brain works. As very often people have this attitude. They have someone who's mentally ill and they'll say, well, let them get over it. It doesn't work that way. People can't just get over things. People have illnesses. They have chemical imbalances. They have problems with what's going on. They need medication just like any other cola. And sometimes music therapy may help certain people depending on how on the degree of their illness. And he says, you need to tell me that it's not a chola, it's not even a chola she'ein bo sakana. He says, I'll tell you, it's a chola she'yesh bo sakana very often. You ever see someone who's really suffering from depression? It can really be a chola she'yesh bo sakana. Their lives can certainly be in danger. It's not something where you could just laugh it off and say such a person is not a chola. Because considering the level of chola that this can reach, if we're able to sort of mitigate some of the problems in the early stages with a little bit of music and a little bit of cheer in some way, they said, certainly I'm willing to be mindful on the minhag midrabanan that came up sometime between the Gaonim and the Rishonim in order to avoid a more serious problem later on. The question, of course, we have to ask ourselves is, will it really avoid a more serious problem later on, and how, what percentage of the population such a heter would apply? I mean, he's not talking about music very soon, he's talking about music in general. So he's saying, we don't want people walking around all gloomy and sad all day. I could not listen to music for a month and I won't, you'll see me smiling every single day. Some people are very addicted to music and need me. To me, it doesn't bother me so much. So I don't know how many people really do need it and don't need it. I don't know what exactly the, especially if you can sing and you don't necessarily need music, you can have songs and then have people sing together without musical accompaniment. It could also be very nice and an uplifting experience. So it's not so cautious that this can just be applied across the board. But anyway, that was the opinion of Rav Reich of the Chelkas Yaakov. Another svara to be made on this topic is the Shevet HaLevi. The Shevet HaLevi, and it also has to be taken in context, it's in source number 18, the Shevet HaLevi, again, is, if you read his Lashon, people quote it as a heter, but if you read his Lashon, it doesn't really sound like a heter so much. If you're going on to the page, the source number 18 starts on the bottom of the page, goes on to the next page, it's going to be second half first. In the paragraph starts with Lemaisa, he says, Lemaisa lebusha seimu ulitza'arenu, to our great embarrassment and sadness, kemat nishkach halacha psuka azot. It's kemat that the halacha was forgotten. Ve'imam limud z'chus gomer, and we don't really have a good limud z'chus, why people listen to music at all nowadays. Umiu al kalpanim, elu hasham ha'kishir, shemashmim zemer kodesh, v'zemer mitzvah, la'or ha'levavos, those who listen to the nigunim that involve Ron Shabbatusha and will raise a person and bring a person closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because it's a song that involves some sort of Yiras Shamayim. When we post came, they sue the chasina, mutter, v'makom shein nisim nichu l'kakim over Yerushalayim. So then it's mutter to do it, especially if you're at a wedding. Oh, the me, Shishamel, if a cat is well known, or he says someone who is doing it in order to get over his sadness. But again, his main idea seems to be that if the type of music that you listen to is not just style music, but it's music that brings you closer to God, there are certain things that music can do in terms of developing a religious personality that are not easily accomplished without music. There are some people who become frum from kumzitz, others laugh at it, but some people, that is what brings them to frumkeit. They listen to music and they hear the very heartfelt songs and they hear a nice meeting and that turns them on to Yiddishkeit. Some people it happens that way. There is such a thing as kiruv levavos with the Ribbono Shel Olam through the vehicle of music. So he says that's the other possible heter. But it's just important to take in the context of Rebushasenu Utsarenu that it's Mishkach Halacha Psuka B'Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't say it like, oh, I'm thrilled to be Makel, it's no problem because it brings people closer to God. He's saying, unfortunately people are Makel, I have to call it the Limud Chus, I think it's terrible, I think it's embarrassing that we can't follow a simple Halacha B'Shulchan Aruch, but if I had to come up with a Limud Chus, that would be it. Now, exactly which music would fall under this category of music that's la'orer halavavos is not necessarily so clear. Not all Jewish music, especially not recently, is la'orer halavavos. I mean, you listen to some of it and you can't really tell if you even hear the word, you can't really tell if it's what is being ma'or yelavavol to do. It's very very hard to distinguish between the Jewish and non-Jewish music sometimes. It has to be something that's legitimately ma'or yelavavol if one is going to rely on this kula. I don't want to get into just the whole topic of this issue. If anyone is interested, Rav Aaron Kahn has an article in the RJJ Journal, it was a pretty thorough article that discusses this topic at length. Rav Moshe has a little chisel about it. Whatever it is, the bottom line is, Rav Moshe is pretty mocking about it, actually. He's not so thrilled to be, he doesn't think that we can just be makeable and just say, it's music and that's what everyone does and it's okay. Because posting in general, most posting, it's hard to be a posting and ignore a halakha psuk and shulchan aruch. You know, it's hard to just say, to just make it go away. So it has to be within one of these gedarim. It can't just be a person should feel, that when they're listening to music, that it's not just sound because they're in the car, they want to listen to music. They could do it because they're in the car and they're feeling a little bit down, and then, it's a rainy day, and they want to listen to music. So then maybe you have the cultist yakov to be somekhan. Or if you feel that it's the type of music that's lower, halavavos, so then you would have the shevet alevi to be somekhan. But you should look ora, I don't really see a way out. You should look ora, have some reason, and this is obviously outside the context of a chasna. When it comes to a chasna, it's before us, it's mufurish. And by a chasna, it's all mufurish. But other than that, when it's just a person privately listening to something, Lachora, they should try to have some sort of hefker. Now,
kids music as well.
No, I think for children, we don't train children that they listen to music.
What about
okay, so it's a question. Now the more Nogeya Shaila for those who are AM radio listeners are the jingles and the commercials on the radio. So that, to me, never bothered me at all. And I was happy I found they bothered me, but I was happy to find the Shal Mitzion of Halacha in source number 17. The Shal Mitzion of Halacha writes, Radio Shemashmiya Chadashas Ba'olam Din Mitzvah, if you're listening to the news or business news, Ubein Davar L'Davar Mashmiya Gam Shirim Alpi Shir. And between, they have a jingle for the particular talk show that you're listening to, and there's a little song for each commercial. There's a V.S.O. something. What are you going to do? They're shutting off every time you hear it. It's impossible to listen to the radio. So Yeshlo Magazine and Buffer Road Kashmisho. They go, what are you really listening for? Are you listening for the jingle, or are you listening for the news? Like, on the road, you're listening for the news. Most of it is news. Mostly it's done for news and for whatever information you're trying to get. It's not really done for the music. And therefore, we don't have to be knocking on such an issue. And then I saw in the Shevet HaLevi, the tshuva we were just reading before, in source number 18, as I mentioned before, the Vazman was really not happy, but is really not happy about people listening to music in general. He quotes this Shard of Tzion of HaLacha, and right on the bottom of the page, in the last paragraph, the paragraph starts with the words Udvarim. It says, Udvarim Tzumum Kasad, Deina Kli Koveya, Ela Hashmiya Kova'at. So that was then. Because I use this utensil mostly to hear news and not for music, so that means the music's not called music? If I'm listening to music, now the music is music. That's so smart. What's that around them? Mali Makli in Rubo Lakat? Whatever, if I happen to use my piano most of the time just to hold pictures, and some of the time when someone comes up, we're actually knows how to play it, and plays a song for me, does that make it more mutter to listen to the song than it does to than it otherwise would be? Umadi Yeshon Santin, so you're talking to the Azena Mukhubam Yisr. How now? Umadi says, so that fact that it's Yeshon Santin, So then it could be that you're not mechaber l'Yisr now, so if you're doing it without kavanah, that's a whole different argument. It just seems to me that either the Shaar Mitzion of Halacha maybe just wasn't clear enough in what he meant to say. I don't think he really means that it's like a technical bit of road that you have to, like, at 51% of the time that radio is on, it's commercials or news, and 49% of the time it's music, so it's a technical bit in road, and therefore the radio is automatically listed. There are different stations on the radio, and it could be 100% music, but it's not like the Kli is Kovea. I think all he meant to say is it's background noise. It's not something that you're never listening to. If anyone would just come over to you at any point during your listening and say, what are you doing? You would never say, I'm listening to the great jingle for Mike and the Mad Dog. You wouldn't say such a thing. It's not music. So it's not called listening to music. I think that's simply what he meant. And that's why it seems to me people, perhaps one of the better invented yisurim that people have had over recent years is the, and we'll discuss I guess a little bit next week, the reason not to go to movies during Shvira. So where it comes from, I have no idea. I don't know what the meaning. I can understand why it's not to go to movies. That, you know, someone asked with Moshe, can you go to movies and take the yarmulke off? Well, you can't take the yarmulke off, and if you have to take the yarmulke off to go to a movie, maybe you shouldn't go to the movie. But there's no unbelievable shadows or something like that. But anyway, so when it comes to going to movies during Shvira, so you can certainly understand that a person wants to feel a sense of avelus and they want to do something different in their lives during Shvira than they do the rest of the year. So that's a nice way to do it. But say the halacha, that it's more usher than it would be, assuming that, you know, you're going to watch a, you know, perfectly kosher movie and you have nothing better to do, whatever, you've already, you're going out with your wife and she wants to spend time with you and that's what she wants to do, and that's why, I find it hard to believe people need a break of, you know, 2.5 hours or 3 hours for, you know, just sitting there and staring. It's not even a good feeling after. Anyway, it doesn't seem to be a very, I don't know, I'm not going to get into that. But, what? Yeah, okay, no, I'm saying, so if you're going to go, your wife wants to go to the movie, so you want to go see the movie also, she wants you to come with her, and it's a perfectly kosher movie, and all the rest, and something that will be fine for the rest of the year, and there's no Tiputara, there's no Lissamas, and all that stuff, and it's all fine. So why it should be more often during the year, I can't figure out. The only thing I was thinking, people said, well, what about the music in the movie? It's not a musical, so you're not going for the music, you know? Like, do they make the scary noise when something bad is about to happen? You know,
What?
It's like AM radio, exactly. That's my point. It doesn't seem to be a problem. So people say, what about, you know, large crowds gathering? First of all, the whole idea of large crowds getting together is usually social interaction. That's part of the problem. It's like a party. You have, you know, 150 individuals sitting in a movie theater. There is no, and if there is, it's usually a negative thing, right? There's very little positive interaction. Doesn't seem to me. I just don't understand where the. And it's a nice thing. Person wants to be mocking her on that during the street. You know, my cousin, my nun. Anyway, so this is all just in general about music. Now, what about recorded music? So many times you hear, well, it's only after you listen to live music. If it's recorded music, it's okay. So where does that come from? What status does recorded music have? And what do the post-lefts say about it? We know what the word on the street is, but what do our post-lefts really have to say about recorded music? So there are three shittas that I know of. One is the shita of the Tzitz Eliezer, and many other post-lefts as well. I just put the Tzitz Eliezer in the Maamar Kamos. Tzitz Eliezer writes in source number 19, someone asked him about the tape recorder. It's interesting to see which of the Israeli poskim know that tape recorder is two English words, tape recorder. Some of them have taper quarter. They obviously, they're just reading some truths. They don't know. Anyway, so he has it right. He has it as one long word, tape recorder. So whether it's us who are listening to a tape recorder or not, iPod would be the same. He named it Daiti Yesh Kulis Nizat. There's the following very easy distinction to make. If it's a voice recorded on the tape recorder, people saying into the recorder, recorded their voices, and that's all you're listening to is singing, then it's like listening to singing. And that is acapella tape. So people just sing, and it's always singing what you're listening to. That's spirit tapes they sell. He says that has a din of listening to singing, not music. And if it's a recording of a musical instrument, then it becomes like listening to music, and that's us. He says, very simple. To say that because it's recorded, it's automatically not music, that's not true. You want to listen to it before music. It's music. So the question is, if it's music of instruments, so then it's us. And if it's music of singing, then it's mutter. That's the situation. I believe most poskim follow that approach. I found an interesting approach in the Chuvos of Nidru. I think other poskim raised this far as well, and I unfortunately had to add it in all the way at the end. So you have my handwriting on the very last page, source number 42. He discusses the topic of the tape recorder as well. And he writes, "The oldest of my shumashos my name is tomorrow radio a tape recorder." in Vinum Kikliya, Kishidu Kipat, he says whether it has a din of an instrument or of a voice, he says, Gam Zep Hashu to Mashi Mikluk Mishir, the Tad Dinuk Shir, the Tad Mashi Mikluk Mikluzan, I'm not to the radio, Dinuk Kikliya. His first he says exactly like it says that he has in most other posting. If it's a recorded voice, it's a voice. If it's a recorded instrument, it's an instrument. The Shuvi Yanti, the Im Zechrut, you don't have to say that. I thought the Shil Shir Vutad, the Dinuk Kipat, the Lokatli. You don't have to necessarily say that when it's a recorded voice, it's necessarily considered to be a voice and not a musical instrument. The Yesh Lomar, because you could suggest, the Kibon Chayin Gzeus HaKlasim Shafi Daka, Ela Ikur Mishum Simcha Yisela, the Asim Nechum Bekel Kain, since it's not a Gzeus HaKlasim, that you're not allowed to listen to music made from a Kli, rather it's just an idea of Simcha Yisela, in King Enyak of the Kli, Ima Kli Atim HaMashmiya Kol, or Shemekla Tepin HaTet. I mean, the instrument is to listen to music from a Kli. So whether the Kli is a guitar, a piano, a set of drums, or a tape recorder, what difference does it make? Meaning if it's a Kli that makes noise, it's something that makes pleasant sounding noise, that by definition is called Zimla the Kli. It's not called guitar, it's not called vocals anymore. Once it goes through the electric medium, so now it has, it's considered to be an instrument in its own right, and therefore he says that he thinks it would be after, no matter even the acapella tapes, even the sphere tapes, he thinks would be after. So that seems like a very difficult sheet to defend, because what you would have then is Kol Isha would become Mechora Mutter, right? It would be as long as it's the Kli. I thought of another difficult Machinir that will come out of it. I don't remember what it is. You come out with some very difficult to just assume that it's called the Kli, that even if it's recorded in a voice, is very difficult. Meaning, and if a person talks in pleasant tones and you play, I guess it would have to be something that you're playing for just listening to the sounds of it as opposed to a speech or something. But this is a very difficult position to defend. The most lenient approach is that of the Talkus Yaakov, which we discussed earlier, that the radio may not have been part of the original issue, as you said before, that anything that brings music, but that would only be good for a radio. The only something, as he explained, the only something that brings music from one place to another. But something that's, that just makes music here and doesn't bring it from one place to another would lechora be asur according to him as well. So a CD player or an iPod, anything like that, lechora would be asur according to him. It's only if it's a radio and you somehow have songs that in general he's okay with you listening to, so then it would be okay. Now what about it? What does this all say for Sfira? So all this is just the background information. This was about the rest of the year. What about music during Sfira? So the truth is, as we said before, that you're not going to find anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that music is after the Sfira. What you do find is the Magen Avraham writes, what is after the Sfira? The Shulchan Aruch says, what's after the Sfira is to get married and to take haircuts. There's not really much else to discuss in terms of the Sfira of Sfira. So the Magen Avraham adds in, and this in addition to getting married, it's in source number 20, he writes, Avalasos Rikudin u'mecholos shol reshuch nahagu lesser. Rikudin and mecholos are both ways of dancing. One is a dance that's in a line, and the other is a dance in a circle. But either way, it's dancing. So that dancing, that he says, it seems to be that the minig is ta'asu dancing. Now the question is, how do you approach this Magen Avraham? And this is what the whole issue of musical sphere really boils down to. It's what does the Magen Avraham mean? Meaning, what would he say if he knew that we were that for whatever reason, let's say someone were to tell the Magen Avraham one day, music became much of the whole year. And what would he say about Sphere? When he says we couldn't the Mechola Sarasa, there's two ways to approach it. The stringent approach would be, if we couldn't the Mechola Sarasa, Kalvachom and music is after. And if we couldn't the Mechola is just walking around in a circle in most cases. Right? So Kalvachom, then music would be after. And that is the approach of, it seems to me, most poskim, certainly most poskim that we normally follow. Rav Moshe Feinstein, source number 21, writes, even those who are makir throughout the year to listen to radios and CDs and everything else, during Sfira we should be makir. So he says it explicitly. Rabbi Yosef also says so explicitly. I think the Mishnah also says so explicitly. A lot of the major posts say explicitly that during Sfira it would seem that it's a Kal Vachomer. Others, however, say that now is the difference between Rikudin Mecholos and music. And it really depends on the type of music that one would listen to. Meaning, Rikudin Mecholos is also because that's celebratory. That's something that, it's an occasion where you get up and dance. some music that you listen to may lead you to get up and dance, or may is called dance music, or even fast-paced type of music. Other music that you would listen to, you'd look like a moron if you were dancing when that music was playing. The music is meant to be a relaxing type of music. It's meant to be a calming type of music, to be a spiritual type of music, something of that nature, in which case it's unlikely that it would fall into the issue of Ikudim Lecholos. That's how many of the other poskim suggest. In terms of who suggests that exactly, so I've seen it in the name of Rav Scheinberg, and I have the sefer Elohim Mo'adai, who's a rabbi named Rav, I think it's Eliyahu Schlesinger, who has a number of svarim, very nice svarim, I've quoted them in the past, and he has this long tshuva about music in general, where he goes on about the Dama Milsa Lamilsa from some very difficult figures to try to compare it to listening to music, and he's a big fan of music, and he thinks that it could be listening either of the Bell Rice, and the people haven't become so sad, and they're not going to be in the kind of mitzvot, and they're not going to, like he takes it to an extreme, they're not going to learn Torah anymore, and they're not going to be in the kind of mitzvot, and they don't listen to music, and music is going to save them from all the world's troubles, and that's why it's okay to listen to music. You look in source number 22, in the second paragraph of it, it says, Prakash, Yashonim Zimmer Shal Regesh, the Irgala Kutcha Barichu, Shalom Rakshain Adab Nedim Zeh Yikudim Makolos, Allah Adrava, Old Nevi'ah Sadam Zeh Tshuva Maik and Tovin, he listens to songs of Regesh, songs that have a feel to it and a sensitivity to it, so it's not going to bring you to dance, it will bring you closer to God, it's Moshom Rabbeinu Zal, Shalom Azimu Shabalom Ha'emes Nimsa Liyad Olam HaTshuva, that as Chazal teach us, that the Olam HaZimra and the Olam HaEmes is right near the Olam HaTshuva. Right, that the singing is because there's a desire to get closer to God. And then he says, look, I wouldn't have said this on my own, but a couple of paragraphs later, I'll came and have a question about the Ishla Hatilishma and the Gina Shkita, the Gavin Midwash of Pizemar Bimaxir, he says, even with musical accompaniment, the Chen Shamati Bishem Rabbanim Gedolim the Chashuvim Shlita, and I've heard that in the name of many great Rabbanim and Chashuvim Rabbanim, Sha'afim Nitsiruki Agavin, who are also Mekul in such circumstances. The Lohe Basius says, Varam Khan Bishmam, he says, I don't want to quote them by name, Kimish Lo Shamatim Biatsi, because I never actually heard them say it, Rakhni Cliche, I only heard others say in their name, which is, you know, you have to take, any time you see a quote that's not really a quote, you always have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, one of the articles I was writing for the RJJ Journal, I quoted something that I heard from Rav Weinberger, the member of Moshe. And the editor said, cut it out. Then, you know, just don't write it in the name of Rav Moshe. Write it as a star then. Because he said, I had enough of Pia Shmuel. He said, I mean, Pia Shmuel, they go one way and the other way. And, you know, they completely contradict each other. So it's very difficult to just rely on a Pia Shmuel. But Kimish HaMarki is called Niska, Gamba Risa HaKodesh, Hayu Kama Kamu Dekam Sheh Skashre Elai, the Sipuli Vishem Rav Hosein, Shidam Hei Nato Lahasi. And once I started to tell people this, and to be Mekel about this, a lot of people got in contact with me and told me that their Rebbeim were also Mekel. Again, you notice the important absence of names. V'chein yelam yisaiti pashut lahati v'chei gavna u'v'prat achar sheshamati shi'uro shalagon rav someone daikoski shlita chavr bezin ha'gadol. So apparently there's a big time of chavr merit. So also lahati, I'm not sure who it is, maybe someone who knows, I don't know, anyone knows who that is? No idea. Okay, so it's also Mekel. But again, so okay, so you can say Gamba Tisha Tiyamim, this other zone was Mekel even during the 9 days, from Rosh Chodesh Av, Avshem Yishmet Tzamim, Matim Yisimcha, from Vorm Yisalmud, Avshem Zeru Evel, Shem Talat Tzibur, and Kain, Kol Shkibin Yenenu. So if it's Mutter during the 9 days, if you can accept that Saka, it's Mutter during the 9 days, then Kal V'Chomer, it's Mutter during Sfiras Omer. As we said, that's a valid Kal V'Chomer if you accept that it's actually Mutter during the 9 days. The problem with this is not an all-out hefty. This has to be used very sparingly. I mean, he's being very specific that you shouldn't listen to music in general. You should listen to music that has a certain sense of seriousness to it or softness to it. I heard in the name of Rav Willig that he doesn't see any issue, he doesn't understand, I didn't hear it from him, so I'll say from a cliche, I mean, I'll say from the truth, that he doesn't know of any issue to listen to music during the sphere. He doesn't really see any connection between including the solos. And I've heard even fast music he doesn't have a problem with, because fast music the whole thing is a minhag midrabanan not to do mikudin macholos during tefillah. So we're going to make a gzeila, don't listen to music that might lead you to do mikudin macholos. That's already very far-fetched to make a gzeila on something that's not even a gzeila, on a minhag. But one could argue that no, it's not a gzeila on the minhag. It's that if Chazal would know that we were so lenient with music throughout the year, and that we totally ignored the other halacha that they made, they would probably want us to stop doing it during Shmira at the very least. I think if you approach it from that angle, so it's not as obvious that it should be mutter. Just also on that note, when we're talking about singing, I just have a quote here. It's in the Maran Talmud. It's the Shalmei Moed, which is the Talmidim of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach got together and wrote up the different things that they heard from him and different minhagim that he had. And he writes over there that even just singing should be slow-paced, softer type of singing. And even singing shouldn't be a fast-paced, dance type of song. And that, you can see, is related to the Yitzhudim Mechollah. It doesn't say what he felt about music. Once it's surmised, he probably wasn't so filled with it. But he issues a word of caution regarding singing. So bottom line, what do we have over here? We've discussed the issue, the difference between Svira and 3 weeks. We've discussed the general issue of music and the difficult coolers that people rely on. We do rely on them, but that people rely on to listen to music in general. And against that backdrop, you know, when it comes to approaching the days of Svira, so if you want to take, as a technician, you want to take a completely, purely technical, view on it, you can say, okay, so there's no technical issur during Svira, but if you just read a little bit between the lines of what seems to be the spirit of the halacha, it seems to be that listening to music, certainly faster-paced music, even if it's not live, would seem to be a highly questionable activity for the Emea Svira at the very least.